All right, well, welcome viewers and listeners to our first roundtable discussion. This is something new we're going to be doing this summer as a way to kind of reflect back on the teaching from the previous week and just create some more content for those of you who are looking for some opportunities in the week to continue to engage and increase your learning and your time spent growing in your faith. So some of you are watching this, some may just be listening on podcasts, so the watchers can see who's with me, but let's introduce everybody just so that those who are listening will know for sure. This is Pastor Dave speaking right now, but with me is Pastor Kirsten Berthoden.
Hello.
Joshua Crude is with us as well, representing our congregation. And another staff member, Pastor Adrian Bonin, is here.
Hey, guys.
Awesome. So basically, we're just having a casual conversation where we kind of riff on the sermon. We just kind of reflect on what stood out or made sense or didn't make sense and kind of expand on that. So just great for us to have kind of different thoughts and ideas based on that. So this is not scripted. We're just going to kind of chat and see where it leads us. So if you're watching, feel free to throw some comments in that we can answer next time around, but keep the conversation going. So this week, we started a new series called Greater, looking at 1 Corinthians 13. Are you guys like me, where most of the time when you've heard this passage read, it was at a wedding?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why do you think that's where it kind of lands?
Love.
I think it's, for some non-Christians, it's one of maybe two or three passages they know.
Right.
Because they do hear it all the time at weddings.
Right.
And so for them, it's not that familiar.
Right.
But they know it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the one they think of, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think our culture is so kind of like bound up in kind of Disney culture of like love is the most important thing to find in life. And so they kind of reinterpret it. But it's not necessarily what the Corinthian believers were hearing. They weren't thinking romantic love because Paul was thinking of something else. In fact, he talked a lot about, well, really what he's referring to was an overvaluing of gifts and an undervaluing of our character. Do you guys see the world kind of set up in that way? And can you think of examples where we might overvalue people's gifts and undervalue their character?
Yeah, totally. I think especially with like the millennial generation, influencers on like YouTube or social media, like you don't know who they actually are, but you can see all of these things that they've done, all the brands they like work with, like all the places they show up, how many followers they have. But then you do see sometimes like once they've hit like a certain level of like, I've got like 3 million followers, all of a sudden something comes out and you're like, oh, they're definitely not the kind of person they like put themselves out there to be like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Joshua?
I would pretty much completely agree with what you said. Yeah, there's a lot more focus now on how you look, how cool you are, what brand you're wearing, who you represent, what kind of category you fit into in our society, what cause you're jumping on board with, as long as it's, you know, the popular cause,
right.
then you're accepted, then you're almost worshipped in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just look at our like celebrity culture, and it's these people are idolized and lifted up because they're amazing athletes or amazing actors, and that tells us nothing about who they are. Mm-hmm. But they're just great at basketball, and yet they have this influence over this wide group of people, based on nothing that they've done other than being good at a sport.
Yeah, and the assumption that comes along with excellence in one area is that other areas must be excellent, right? And unfortunately, that comes into the church as well, where we've seen celebrity culture come into church culture, and you get these celebrity pastors. And it's great that God gifts pastors and leaders and preachers. That's super valuable. But eventually, what often happens is that pastor, a dark past comes out, or they do something that's of poor character. And not only does it harm them, but it can destroy their ministry.
Yeah.
And what kind of impact do you think that has just like on the church as a whole, like this celebrity culture in the church?
Well, I've heard one person, one American pastor say, a mega church pastor, say that those you idolize, eventually you'll demonize. Mm. And so if you idolize a person, you put them up on a pedestal, you're gonna eventually turn on them because they won't have that.
Right.
Because only God is meant to be lifted up like that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's definitely something that happens.
Yeah.
And we see that all the time. People love this celebrity preacher, love this person, and then they do something and everyone turns on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you also see a lot of people, like, when something does happen and there's like a moral failure or something, a lot of people will be like, oh, well, I don't want to go to church anymore. Like, if that's what it's like, if that's what, like, God is like, they almost, like, see the pastor and be like, oh, that's what God's like. Mm-hmm. Like, they follow the pastor and not who Jesus is. They don't follow Jesus. They follow, like, this celebrity pastor that, like, says all the right things, looks the right way, like, seems to do everything right, and then something happens because they're human, and they're like, I don't want anything to do with church.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. I'm out.
That's a great example of when the focus is on man and not on the God-man, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because our pastors are not, like you were saying, are not our moral examples.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they teach us about morals through the Word of God, but ultimately Jesus is our only ultimate moral example of how we are to live our lives. And Scripture shows us how Jesus lived his life so that we can try and be like him. So we can ask for the Holy Spirit's help in order to sanctify us and make us more like Jesus. And then if our pastor or someone that we respect fails, we can come to them in love and say, hey, you know what? I'm just as messed up without Jesus as you are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about it. Let's work this out. Let's let's work towards forgiveness in whatever situation it might be, right?
Yeah.
But people, they put them up on this pedestal, these preachers or whoever, athlete, a movie star.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they do something and it's like, oh man, my whole world has just now collapsed.
Yeah.
Because your world wasn't based on biblical foundation and Scripture and Jesus. It was based on an experience or a person or a church or whatever.
Yeah. At the same time, you want your spiritual leaders to be able to, like Paul, say, follow me as I follow Christ.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, there needs to be a culture where the leader needs to have opportunity to be open and share weakness and experience forgiveness. Yet, as your platform grows, your character needs to grow with it. Like there's this necessary expansion of character required. Yeah. Like you can go on social media and you can have anybody and everybody say the most ridiculous things that if they had a platform, they'd lose their platform.
Yeah.
But because they don't have a platform, they can get away with it. They can call people out in the worst, most dehumanizing ways, and it's totally fine because they just, you know, go back to having no real followers. But you know, Adrian and I were talking. We were part of CrossFit, which is now like exploding because the owner said something super racist publicly, and 15,000 gyms that are affiliated with this company are now saying, well, we can't support this owner. And so they're de-affiliating and the whole company's breaking up. He had to sell it to try to save it and all this kind of stuff because he had a huge platform, but his character hadn't matched his platform.
Yeah.
It creates this horrible side effect. And so I think that's one of the issues Paul was trying to address. It's like, great, Corinthians, you're super talented, but you're actually potentially going to do damage to the witness of the gospel if you don't allow your character and your love to match, at least match, your gifts. So we went through, you know, a few things character is not, or love is not, on Sunday, just to kind of give a framework for where we're going to go in this series. But first of all, and we've made this point already, it's not the same as being gifted. And one of the scriptures I shared was Matthew 7, where Jesus actually sent people to hell who were like, hey, didn't we do miracles and prophesy? How could we not be saved? So how do you answer that question? How can a person who's that gifted not be saved?
I'm just glad I'm not God.
Yeah.
I don't have to make those decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just, yeah, it shows the difference between gifts and your heart.
Right.
But there's also another whole spiritual reality that we often don't necessarily talk about or think about, that do false miracles and false acts. And so it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think we've all seen some of the charlatan, you know, televangelists who've actually been caught, you know, with earbuds in their ears, pretending to prophesy about an injury or something. And, But Jesus is saying, listen, that's not enough. It's not enough to be gifted.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, it's not the same as being good. And Paul here made the connection between like people who act good in order to put God in their debt, right? Mm. Now, like, I'll just be honest, like, that's just such a natural thing in my flesh to try to do, like, to try to serve God so that he'll bless me. Do you find the same sort of pull?
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. How do you fight that?
That's a hard one. For me, just to be, like, real and open and honest, that's one of the things I struggle with the most in my relationship with God, is feeling entitled. Mm. Right, and you were talking about millennial generation. I'm in that where, you know, we're sort of stereotyped as being entitled or we deserve this just because of whatever. But I struggle with that with God. Is like, am I reading my Bible because I want to read my Bible? Am I praying because I want to pray because I really want to seek His face and because I want to know more of Him and be more like Christ? Or am I doing it because I feel like if I don't, then my life isn't necessarily going to go very well.
Right.
And that's a tough one. And for me, I just have to continuously realize that I'm doing that, repent, and ask the Holy Spirit to help conform me to the image of Christ. That's pretty much all I can do really in that situation. Because you're right, Dave, that our flesh tends to go that way naturally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, in our jobs, a lot of jobs is I do this so I get paid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do this so I get a promotion. I do this so I get recognition so I can go on to a better job and have that on my resume.
Yeah.
And sometimes I find myself treating God like that, saying, hey, God, look at my resume. Look what I've done. Mm-hmm. Look what I've done this week. Look what I've done for you. Oh, I'm tithing to the church. I'm doing all these things. And then I find myself in that works-based salvation instead of relying on the grace and the free gift of the cross.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say about that is reminding myself, you know, what does the scripture say? All our deeds, our best deeds is like a filthy rag compared to the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
So there really is nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. But yet we still get trapped in that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we go there because that's the little that we feel we can control.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's like we understand in our heads that I can't save myself, but we're like, but there are things I can do. And so we trick ourselves into, well, if I do this, then God has to do this, which is the essence of religion, right? Like that was the whole Pharisees and everything. Jesus didn't actually have a problem with their acts.
Right.
But he's like, but you don't have the right heart with those acts. Right. So he's like, it's great you tithe all these things, your dill and your cumin and whatever. But he's like, but you don't have your hearts with me. He's like, do those things, but do them with the right heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think that's the thing, is we think we can control God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, which leads you to kind of a nasty surprise.
Yeah.
And you often see, like, and you know, as a pastor, when you walk people through suffering, you see, you kind of see that tested and that refined, where it's like if a person's faith has been about trying to control and gain things from God and they go through suffering, then they're going to get really embittered and angry at God. And then you recognize, okay, their whole faith has been about this this kind of transactional relationship between them and God, and maybe God is trying to wean them off of that and show them that it needs to be something much different. And it's beautiful when you see people suffer and maintain their faith in God, and actually their faith actually can grow, and you kind of see that as evidence that they've actually had a pure heart. None of us have perfectly pure hearts, but you just see that. And that's sometimes like our character is really refined in suffering. You see that all through the scripture. People try to deny that Christians suffer. We do.
Yeah.
In the same way that the world does, yet we suffer with hope and we suffer with spiritual resources that others don't have, right? Mm-hmm. The third character is not reputation. So it's not that outward appearance that a lot of us kind of put on a religious facade. Mm-hmm. You think we Christians have a problem with that? What do you think, Kirsten?
I think definitely. And I think you see it a lot, even like just with people, just like not even people who have like status, like you see people in church sometimes where you're like, I know I saw this a lot growing up, especially with like friends during high school. You're like, oh, like you're this awesome person at church and at youth group and you clearly love Jesus and all this stuff. And then you see like a post about them and they were at a party and like drunk and doing things that you know isn't what God wants for them. And you're like, oh, well, your reputation at church is like so different from like how you really are. So, and I think everybody probably has moments of that.
Yeah.
Totally. So. Yeah. I think that's great what you said, because at the start of your sermon, I believe is right in the beginning when you were talking about the church in Corinth, Dave talked about the Corinthians getting drunk off communion wine,
right?
Which is just wild.
So
that's like, what a great example in our time. And that's how I personally, that's exactly how I was in high school. I was, you know, the youth group kid, like big show. And then on the weekend, I was just chasing girls and partying my face off. That was it. So it was like one side of Joshua and the other side of Joshua. And the church people thought I was this great guy, like heart for missions, which I did have in a way. But at the same time, I had this desire to sin and this desire to want the things of the world. Right? And that's what you were speaking of in the beginning of your sermon with the church in Corinth, is they were doing all this good stuff and they were highly educated in this premier city in the world at that time, but their hearts were still hardened against the truth, against God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Paul talks about, like, you know, you can speak in tongues and fathom mysteries, but, you know, all that is just a gong or a cymbal, which is really like pagan worship, was like trying to get the attention of the gods. And Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, like people who pray on the street corners to get attention. He says they've already received the reward. They're not getting anything from God. So this pageantry, this show, and you see it in church, like people who are so exuberant in church, and you, like, where's the exuberance in your obedience day to day? You want to see that consistency throughout. So in the end, one of the mistakes people make with 1 Corinthians 13 is they see it as another list of to-do. Like, you need to be patient, you need to be kind, you need to be all these things, or else you won't be blessed. And that's, again, it's really, you know, against the point that Paul is trying to make. Paul is not presenting to us another list of characteristics that we need to obey, but he's actually presenting Jesus. That Jesus is the patient one. He's the kind one. And it's through him loving us that we then get liberated to be loving, right? Love doesn't start with us. We can't muster it up just through good education and good biblical teaching. We experience the love of God. God is love. And then we can take the love he's given us and share it with others. Any last thoughts about this week's topic or moving ahead?
I think the whole reputation thing is interesting. I heard Timothy Keller once talk about how it's really easy to fool a church into thinking that you're this amazing person. And he's like, and people would just like really lift him up and he's this amazing person. He's like, the people I can't fool are my wife and my kids.
Right.
Because they actually see you on the way to church as you're fighting with your kids, and then you get there and you all plaster on a fake smile.
Yeah.
And he's like, and it's easy to fake it with people that don't really see you.
Right.
And I remember hearing once when I was in Bible college, a newer Christian who was in Bible college too, he said, you know, I have this pastor who said he hasn't sinned in like 5 years. And I'm like, well, he's like, is that right? And I said, well, does he have, do you know him really well? Is there anyone that's really, really close with him that would be able to confirm that? And he's like, well, he doesn't really have anyone close to him. And I'm like, well, that's the red flag right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, because it's easy to hide it. It's easy to pretend. But I'm like, that's dangerous. Yeah. Like, you need people close to you because we all mess up at times, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think it's people that will call you out on your character. And like, when you're not treating your spouse properly or you're doing whatever, people that will come alongside you. I think that's that Christian brotherly, sisterly walk together of being the family is, you can say, hey, you know, you were kind of a jerk today, Adrian. What's going on? And so I think that's the important thing is it's not fake it till you make it. It's make it so that you will actually make it further.
Right. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Any other thoughts over here?
I was just thinking, the fact that the list of like what love is not being a to-do list, mm-hmm. but it's just like who God is, and because he loved us, like that's such a freeing thing to just mm-hmm. like be like, it's not on me,
right.
like yes. this gift has just been given to me to be able to do that. And I think once you like recognize that it's not a to-do list, and it's not like you have to do this or else you're not like yeah. a good Christian or you're not yeah. a loving person, but it's just a free gift like mm. from God, like through you, like I think it's so much easier
right.
To love people well, yeah. like yeah. when you have that mindset.
Because when good. You're unloving, he's patient and kind with you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He never fails you, even though you fail him. Like
yeah.
it just, it keeps us from thinking, oh, I screwed up, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's back to Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And coming from that point of liberation and freedom, we can then continue to move forward each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Sure. Why don't we end it on that? Great conversation. Thank you for joining us, whether you're watching or listening. We'll be back every week through the summer. There'll be different people on these chairs kind of every week to mix it up. But thank you all for joining me today. I appreciate all your thoughts.
We hope you enjoyed today's discussion, roundtable discussion. Make sure to stay connected to us throughout the week at betheltab.ca or on socials at Bethel Church Penticton. Take care and God bless.